we got to the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, the very top line. The Gemara had been going through the various shvusim that was listed in the Mishnah, that which you couldn't do on Yontif. So now the Gemara at the top line says Lo Cholzin v'lo miyavmin. You can't perform chalitza nor can you perform yibum on Yontif. So the Gemara says v'ha mitzvah kavid. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, why does the Mishnah categorize Yibum and Chalitza as part of the list of Rishus? Remember, we had a list of Shvus, we had Rishus, and then we had Mitzvah. So in the list of examples of that which is a Rishus, we have Yibum and Chalitza. So isn't Yibum and Chalitza Mitzvah? So Gemara says, Lo Tzricha D'Ika Gadol. It's talking about a kid's situation where there is an older brother, U Mitzvah B'Gadol Yavam. So the Mitzvah really, when there's a number of brothers, again, one of the brothers has a wife. He's married and no children. And the brother dies, his wife is now a widow and no children. So the mitzvah of Yibum is incumbent upon all the various brothers. But the mitzvah, the ideal mitzvah, is to be performed by the oldest living brother. So this situation we're talking about is Enoch Nami, the oldest brother who marries her, performs Yibum. Maybe he can do it. It would be considered a mitzvah. We're talking about a situation where one of the younger brothers is performing Yibum. That's not called a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, but not relative to when the older brother marries. It's considered only Rishus. And that's why we categorize it that way. Now the Gemara finally tells us, V'chulu tai mamai? What's the reason all these things? Why can't you do this? Why can't you buy and sell? Why can't you do Yibum? Why can't you do Chalitza? Why can't you do Kedusha? Why all these things, and why can't you have a Din Torah? Answer is, G'zei Hashem Yichtov, there's a concern that you might write the write things down. So says Rashi four lines from the top, the last word, Shema. Shema yichtov psak din ladinim. You might write, okay, the psak is as follows. So-and-so is guilty, so-and-so is innocent. Vishtar erusin, you might write the documents l'kadushin, or shtar chalitza l'chaletzes, the various documents needed for chalitza, uchsub l'yavma. So there are many things that need to be written down, so there's a concern that if you allow these things to take place, the actual events are not problematic. It's what it might lead to of you writing down on a document, which is problematic, and that was the gzeira that was there. The Elohein, the Gemara continues now and says, Ve'lehein mishum mitzvah. And what are the examples of things that are mitzvahs that we don't allow you to do? V'lmachdishin, you can't make something hektish. V'lmarichin, v'lmachrimim, you can't do erchin, you can't do chayrim. These are examples of things that are, although they're mitzvahs, we said you can't do this. Why can't you do hektish, erchin, chayrim? And these are all very similar things. It's where you're basically infusing kedusha in a certain item. So the Gemara explains, what's the reason why these things are all aser, gzeira mishimekach memkar? Because it gives the appearance of buying and selling. What's the problem of buying and selling? So if you look at Rashi says, Mishumekach umemkar. Dilumekach umemkar damu. It's very similar to buying and selling. Shemotzi mirshuso lirshus hektesh. Because you're moving something from your own property and you're entering it into the hektesh. Umekach umemkar asr. So why is, okay, what's the problem with that? So, okay, it looks like buying and selling. Whoever said buying and selling is problematic. So Rashi tells us, Mekuch memchar aser minat mikra, and buying and selling is aser, based on a pasuk, dichsiv, mimsod chavsecha v'davar davar. Pasuk Yishai tells us that you shouldn't do weekday activities, and you shouldn't be speaking a weekday speech. And for that reason, we forbid, or the pasuk tells us in Yishai, that you're not allowed to mekuch memchar. That's why it's aser, to divrei kabbalah, not divrei Torah, but divrei kabbalah. And from that, we extended it to things that are similar to buying and selling, such as hektesh and erchin. Now, Tosus continues and says, inami, alternatively, inami mekach memkar asili deksivas shtari mechira. Buying and selling itself is not sourced in the Torah or in the Tanakh. Rather, it itself is a concern you might write down, okay, I just bought this, let me write you, here's your receipt. Or I owe you money, or whatever it might be, it might lead to writing. So mekach memkar is also because it might lead to writing. From that, we extended it to things that are similar to buying and selling. So that's a gzeira on top of a gzeira, asks Rashi. Vim tomer havi legzeira legzeira. Buying and selling is only gzeira, might come to write it down. From that, we say we're making a further gzeira of you can't do hektesh. Because hektesh might lead to mekach memkar, which might lead to writing. That's a double-layered gzeira. And to the Gemara, kulacha the gzeira, you know, this is all considered one gzeira. When they said you can't buy and sell, included in that initial gzeira, they also said you can't do hektesh, you can't do erchin, you can't do chayrim. Those are all part of the initial gzeira. And that's why it's not a problem of Ein Gozen Gzeira Al Gzeira. Back to the Gemara now. Gzeira
I don't know where this thought is coming from particularly, but I do remember there were certain cases where, because we don't want hektish to suffer or to have a loss, or potential loss. So certain things are, I don't know, suspended or permitted or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it seems like here, well, guy has this idea of making something hectic. Oh, sorry, you got to wait. Maybe he won't. Maybe
right.
The Erechim will evaporate. The thought might evaporate.
Right. Interesting. So I think your thought's coming from a mission in Becharos, which we had mentioned here in Beitz as well, that normally speaking, you cannot buy and sell things in the marketplace, hekdesh in the marketplace, because it's a bizayon to take a piece of hekdesh and sell it in the marketplace. But if it's a situation where selling in the marketplace will create more demand and get more money for hekdesh, so you allow it to be mevaza, the hekdesh, and sell it in the marketplace, or to get more return. That's why we allowed that. But okay, bizayon kachim is not a simple, it's not a small matter, we're concerned, but when it comes to Shabbos, you might come to write something. That's an issur d'oraisa to do that. So you're right, it's possible the person might have a fleeting thought and want to do hekdesh, and if you wait till tomorrow, he might not want to do it anymore. But we'd rather him not do it than to having the concern of him might maybe writing down that, oh, this much money to hekdesh. So you have to, you know, pick which is the worst of two evils. So, but yeah. So it says the Gemara now. Where are we now? Oh, Lomag being Chumos and Mises. The Mishnah also told us one cannot take Chuma and Miser, even though taking Chuma and taking Miser is a mitzvah, we can't do that. Pshita Gemara says it's pretty obvious you can't do that. What's so Pashit? Why can you do Chuma and Miser? The Gemara doesn't tell us why. So there are two reasons given, and in fact the Rambam brings both reasons down. One is because Tikkun Mana, because you are fixing something, and one is because you're being Makdish something. So let's explain. In general, when it comes to Chuma and Maaser, whenever you're being mafrish something, you're taking a pile of fruit and you take away Chuma, two things in effect are happening. One thing's happening is you're being matir, the tevel, now you can eat the remaining fruit, that's the tikkun mana. And the second thing happening is you're creating Chuma, you're being mafrish Chuma to now give to the kohen. Those are two elements. Normally we see that it's a big machlokes rishon, which is the ikker. I mean, the ikker is being makdish Chuma. And as an after fact, now the food is mutter to be eaten, the remainder. Or no, really, I'm being matir, the fruit. And happens to be that the fruit that I used is going to the kohen. Ram seems to focus on both elements, that they're both happening simultaneously, and they're both good enough reasons on their own to say why you can't do it in Yontif. Both because you're tikkun mana, you're fixing the remaining fruit, and you're creating kedusha, you're creating chuma and maaser. That's why the Gemara says it's pshita. Of course you can't do that on Shabbos and Yontif. So says the Gemara, Tani Rav Yosef lot nitzcha ela l'kohen bo b'yom. The only issue, the only reason why we need to teach me here is that you cannot give it on the very day. So, right, so Rashi explains that if, let's read the Rashi inside. Tani Rav Yosef, Afil Litnam Lekoin Bobayom. Says Rashi, Dikal Neymar, there is room to say, Lav Muchacha Milsehi, Dile Tukune Tevel Mechavin. It seems from his actions, if he gives it to the coin on that day, he takes some of the grapes and gives it to the coin, it's not so clear that he's doing it to fix his remaining fruits. So we see Rashi, by the way, is focusing on the fixing of the fruits, not so much of the creating of the Kedusha. Danya dua shehehu tzarach l'shayrayim. It's not so clear to the people that he wants to do it to fix the fruit he has left in the house. For Rowan, people see, shemolch chuma l'koin. He takes chuma and go brings it to the koin. Umechse dechul milsa mishum simchaz yomtev to koin. Tzarach l'hu. Afil hachi asr. It seems like I have my backyard, my field, I have a pile of grapes. It's all teva. I take some grapes and go bring it to the kohen right away. It seems like I'm doing it for the purpose of the kohen who needs some fruit for his Simchas Yomtev. Nothing to do with the fixing of my fruit. So since it gives the impression of really for Simchas Yomtev and nothing to do with Tikkun Mana, one would think maybe it should be permitted if I'm giving the chuma on the day I'm taking the chuma. Says the Gemara, no, even then it's going to be asr. So from Rashi's Havmin, it sounds like the issue is Tikkun Mana, the Shirayim. And then the answer is no, it's not about tikkun mana, it's more that it's creating kedusha to give to the kohen. Those two opinions in Rambam might be the machlok havmin and maskana, according to Rashi's understanding of the Gemara. And then the Gemara qualifies this and says, Bahani mile, this is only true piri de tfili me'esmo. This is only true when the fruit that were tevel from yesterday, that you could have done it yesterday, and you waited till today. About piri de tfili ha'inna, if something became tevel on Yontif itself, what's an example of something becoming tavel on Yontif? Could go in Isa, when a dough I started kneading, I'm allowed to knead, so I took some flour, I took some water, I created dough on Yontif. Now I've got a large piece of dough, I have to la afrushin mine chala, I have to separate chala before I'm to eat it. So mafrushin, mifarshinon, v'yahavin lekohen. You're allowed to separate it and give it to the kohen. Rashi doesn't really explain the logic why this is different, so I think the explanation is that to explain it here what the difference is. Simply because you couldn't do it Erev Yom Tov. But I don't have a Svara. I'm not sure the logic. There's nothing that provided me any logic here. Simply that if you could have done Erev Yom Tov and you didn't, so then you can't do it in Yom Tov itself. But if the Tevel only was created on Yom Tov, then one may do it. So I'm not sure how that fits into, isn't it still Tikkun Mana? Isn't it still a problem of Hektesh? So I'm not sure. Says the Gemara now, V'hani Mishum Rishus, Ika Mishum Shvus Leka. So we had three categories in the Mishnah. One was a category of Shvus, one was a category of Rishus, and one was a category of Mitzvah. The Gemara asks, "Hani mishum rishus." The second category, which is called rishus, is only called rishus mishum shvus leka, but it's not a concern of shvus. We said the reason the second category, which was you can't marry someone and you can't do a din Torah, the reason was because it might lead you to write down a shvus, not a rishus. It's also a shvus. In addition to it being a rishus, it's not really a mitzvah. It's a parsha mitzvah. That's why it's called a rishus. It's also a shvus because you might lead to write it down. And secondly, v'hani mishum mitzvah, the third category, which is called a mitzvah, meaning the things of you can be makdish things, mishum mitzvah ika, mishum shvus leka. These things are only mitzvahs, but they're not shvus. We said the reason why you can't do the hektesh in erchin is because it's similar to mekach memkar. So it should also be called a shvus. Explain the Gemara, which I think we thought was pshat yesterday in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak lo mibay kamar. To lo mibay. Needless to say, shvus grade us to us. It's certainly true when you're doing an action which has no purpose other than it's going to be a shvus, that such as the first category of the Mishnah, which, for example, we had that person can't go swimming. There's no value in swimming. There's nothing gained. There's no mitzvah. That's certainly usher because it might lead you to build a boat, to build a life jacket. But not only that case usher, el afilu shvus the rishus, even the shvus on something that's a rishus, such as hektish, such as a rather kedushin, where a person already is married and already has children, his marrying somebody else is only rishus, there's no real mitzvah, even then, even though it's a partial mitzvah, it's still usher, because there's a shvus attached to it, you might write it down in a document. Lo mibay shvus the rishus to usher, not only in the case of where there's a partial mitzvah, and there's a shvus that's the concern, which is usher. Ela filu shvus de mitzvah nami usher. Even if there's a mitzvah that has a shvus related to it, such as being makdish something, that too, even though it's a mitzvah, since there's a shvus that's similar to mekach memkar, even that's going to be usher. And that's the different levels, the hierarchy that's being built up in the Mishnah of shvus to rishus to mitzvah. Now the last line of the Mishnah, the Gemara quotes, "Kol elu b'yom tov amru." So we said all these things were on yom tov is usher. And then the Mishnah said that the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that Yom Tov is permitted in Ochel Nefesh, and Shabbos is not permitted in Ochel Nefesh. Is that really true? That is the only distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov, Ochel Nefesh? Or Minu? Let's ask a question from Mishnah from yesterday's daf. What does the Mishnah say? Mashilin derech aruba b'Yom Tov avlo b'Shabbos. A person could lower down fruit from his rooftop through the skylight on Yom Tov, but he cannot do that on Shabbos. So this has nothing to do with Ochel Nefesh, it just has to do with Hefsin Mamon. And it's a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So this does not go like our Mishnah, which says there's only one distinction. So Amar of Yosef, if Yosef explains, Lo Kasha, this is not problematic. Our Mishnah today, well, I guess both Mishnahs were really yesterday, the Mishnah which says Ochel Nefesh is the only distinction, was authored by one person, and the Mishnah that gives an example of Mashil and Saperos, which is another distinction, is written by a different Tana. Who is it? Hot Rebbe Eliezer, Hot Rebbe Yeshua, Ditanya. Osuv Espino, Shanafulabor. You have a mother and a child, a cow, let's say, a cow and a calf fall into a pit. And the lach is you can't shecht a mother and child on a mother and a calf, cow and calf on the same day, or any other animal. It's just to do that. So are you allowed to take them up? If you take them up, one up, you can't take the second one up because there's no purpose. It becomes muks unless you're using it for shechita. But once you're picking the first one up to shecht it, so maybe the other one has to be left down. So what do you do? So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Malas Arishon al Menash L'Shechto. You first raise up one of the animals down below, the mother, let's say. And you have in mind to shecht it. V'shechto, and then you shecht it. Vasheni, well, now that you shecht it, the first one, you cannot shecht the second one anymore, even though you might need it. It's a deraisa to shecht Oso Espino. So what happens to the second one, the calf, which is down below? Oslo Parnaso Bimkamo Kadeshul Yamos. Then you are allowed to feed it while it's down below, so it lives. But you can't pick it up. Comes along with Yeshua Omer, Mal es rishon al manasa shochta. You first raise up the first one in order to shechle it. Ve'ashochta, and then you say, you know what, nah, I don't want to shechle this one. And then choser marim mal es sheni. Then you go down and bring the second one up, and then and the das to shechle it. And now they're both up. And ratz zeshochet, ratz zeshochet. And then you have the option which one you want to shech. That's the harama, the somewhat of trickery that's permitted to get both animals out of the pit. So how are we trying to connect this to our case here? Let's see. So let's look at Rashi. See Rashi on the last three narrow lines up. Hot Rebbe Eliezer. Seifa, the Seifa of our Mishnah, the Kasani Ein Ben Yomtif L'Shabbos, the Chol Shvus to Gazu Al Shabbos, Gazu Al Yomtif. Every shvus, even if it's a shvus of a hefsin mamon, it all applies across the board to both Shabbos and Yom Tov. That must be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Shelo hitir lahalos also of espino b'pnei hefsin mamon. You cannot raise the second animal to pick it up because of hefsin mamon, because you can turn it might die below. There's no hitir hefsin mamon on Yom Tov. V'reisha dikasani mashilim b'yom tov b'pnei hefsin mamon. The first one which permits you to raise to lower the fruit because of hefsin mamon would also permit you to raise both animals, also espino. So right now the connection is hefsin mamon. Are we concerned by hefsin mamon? Rabbi Eliezer is not concerned with hefsin mamon. You have to leave the animal below. He also doesn't say there's a difference between lowering the fruit. Rabbi Yeshua, who is concerned with the hefsin mamon, would make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov when it comes to hefsin mamon as well. So that's the Gemara initially thinks, that's the difference between these two Mishnayos and Maseches Beitzah. Gemara says it's not so clear to connect the sug of Osa Espino to the lachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Here, why? Says the Gemara, because Amar Le'abaye Mimai. How do you know that's really the same discussion? Dilma ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Elzer Hasam elad efshir b'farnasa. Maybe Rabbi Elzer only makes you leave the second animal in the pit because you're still able to feed it and you could keep it alive. You could sustain it. So it's not a hefsin mamon there. So that's why there's a better way to do it by feeding it when it's stuck in the pit. Well, hachadul efshir, when it comes to the case of the mashil and peros, the peros are left on the rooftop, well, there's no other way to do it. But you can't do anything else with the fruit on top. So therefore, maybe even here, Rabbi Eliezer would permit you to lower down the fruit on Yom Tov, even though you can't do it on Shabbos. Inami, alternatively, another way to distinguish between these sugyas of Osas Beno and the sugyas here in Beta. Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua hasam elad efshir larume. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua only permits you to raise both animals, not because he's concerned with hefsin mamon, because you could do it harama, you can do it such a way which doesn't appear like you're doing it to save money. When there's harama there, you could do some type of trickery, only then he permits it. But here, you're right, he's concerned with hefsin mamon, but he only allows you to protect hefsin mamon when there's harama approach you could take. But there's no harama approach you could take when it comes to the fruit here, so maybe here he would not allow you to lower the fruit on Yom Tov. El Gamar says, Amar, Rapapa says, Lokasha. There's not a problem between these two Mishnayos here in Maseches Beitzah. Ha Beishamai, Ha Beis Hillel. Machlokas between Beishamai and Beis Hillel. What machlokas is this? The Tanan Mishnah taught us already. We learned this almost 30 blot ago, I think. What daf is this? Yud Beis. Okay, 25 blot ago. Beishamai Omrim, Ein Motin Lasa Katan Lasa Lulav Lasa Sefer Torah L'Rishisarab. We know the halacha is that you're allowed to violate certain malachas for Ochel Nefesh. So what about something that's not ochel nefesh? So, for example, hotzah. So, are you allowed to do something? Is it mutter hotzah shlo tzorach? Let's say I want to carry something outside, but not for the purpose of ochel nefesh, but just stam. Beishami says you're only allowed to carry outside when you're using it for ochel nefesh purposes. When it's to carry lulav, carry katan, carry sefer Torah, which has nothing to do with ochel nefesh, he does not permit that. Comes along with Hillel Matir, and he permits you to carry outside, even though it's not for ochel nefesh purposes. That's permitted. So what's the connection here? So Rashi says, if you go four wide lines down in Rashi, Ein Motin Etzakatan, explains Rashi, Delo Hutra Hotzah Shlo Tzorach, Beis Shammai does not permit you to carry when there's no ochel nefesh purpose. The Gavi Tiltil Shlo Tzorach Nami Gazrinan Afil Gavi Hefz Mamon. So too, moving an object, it's different than Hotzah, but still, moving the fruit off the roof is going to be tiltil shlo tzorach. You don't need it to eat. You're going to protect it. That would not be permitted. That's according to Beis Shammai. Ul Beis Hillel, continues Rashi, damri hotzah shlo tzorach mutaris min haTorah. You're allowed to carry outside, even though it's not for the purpose of ochel nefesh. So too, by moving Not hotzah. You're moving the objects from your roof. That's not hotzah. That's tiltal. That's issues of muksa. You're allowed to move things even though it's not for the purpose of ochel nefesh. But that's how the Gemara wants to think. Beisham and Beis Hillel are the two different opinions of these two Mishnah. Gemara says this too is not so clear that it's the same discussion. Because Dilma says the Gemara now. Dilma lovi. Maybe it's not really a true comparison. Ad kan lo ka'amri Beisham hasam ela ha'otzah. Beisham only said this distinction when it came to hotzah. Aval betiltal lo. But when it came to tilt and moving, maybe he would allow you to move something even when it's not letzorach. Because tilt is only a disser derabanan to move it around. So hotza, which is deraisa, that bishamai won't permit you to do hotza deraisa if it's not ochel nefesh. Tilt and moving it around, maybe then bishamai will agree you can move something even when it's not letzorach ochel nefesh. So says the Gemara, a very, very important line here. So Gemara says, is moving an object not for the reason, is not established for the purpose of hotza, meaning Rashi says, there's now five wide lines down in Rashi, atul tiltu lav tzarech hotzahu, tchilas hotza aide tiltuhi. Hotza, carrying, begins with moving. You move something in your house and eventually you take it outside. The reason why we go there on muksa items, not to move objects, is because you're afraid if you move an object, it might lead you to step outside your house and carry. So why didn't they go there in all food, in all kalim? The Gemara and Shabbos talk about the different time periods of gzeiras. There was a certain point where they wanted to say, you can't like move anything. Everything, you can only have to eat it. But to move things, move food, move objects, it was all usher. In your house. And they were, like, everything was muksa. Because they were concerned that if you move something, it's going to lead to carrying outside. They realized that that's really unsustainable. So you have to lower down and allow more things to be carried. So certain things were left in place, like moving something that might lead, something that has no purpose, like a rock, or something that was being used for something that's Isser, Muksa, Machmas, Isser. All these various Muksals were really an afterthought of the what was originally, almost everything was Asr. And then it kind of let things a little bit looser. We see from here, though, the reason for Muksa was established because it might lead to Hotza. And this is where the Ravid writes also on the Rambam. The Ravid writes, the reason for Muksa is because of Hotza. The Rambam, however, says differently. The Rambam writes the reason for muksa is because you have to somehow distinguish between a regular day and Shabbos. If I'm doing all the same activities, moving the same things like I move during the weekday, there's no real distinction between Shabbos and Chol. Because Rambam says people who don't work. So if you go to work, so there's obviously a clear distinction, you're not going to work on Shabbos. The people who didn't have any job and were home, so what made their day different on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So by you not being able to move certain things was a way of highlighting today's a different day. Rashi says, what do you mean? The Gemara in Beta says it's because of Hotza, not because of what the Rambam says. Now, I'm not sure how the Rambam gets out of this, but either way, this is a very, very important source for the reason of Hotza, of Milksa, rather. Okay, it says the new Mishnah now on the bottom. Habehema, Vakalim, animals, and various utensils, Kiragli Habalim. So we know the person is only allowed to walk a certain amount within the Tchum, within 2,000 Amos. In a radius, he's allowed to walk that amount. So any animal he owns or any kelim that he owns, also, if somebody else is moving it, is only allowed to go up until the owner's imaginary radius. Hamosa behemto libno. A person gives his animal, his dog, to his son to go walk. Olu roa, or his shepherd to watch over. Hare elu kiragle habalim. That too is still goes based on what the owner's ability to walk goes, only those boundaries. Kelim hamyuchadim le'echem na'achim. So let's say you live in a house, and one of the brothers, has his own suit, or has his own, whatever it is, wagon. That could only go according to that person, that brother who has it, miyuchad him, it's exclusively his, it goes according to his ability to walk. But let's say, shame miyuchadim, let's say it's not exclusively one of the brothers, but they share it all together. It's a wagon that they all share together. Hare elu kemakom shaholchen, it has to go to a place where all of them are allowed to go. Let's say before Shabbos, they're in different locations. So, and if you have to combine them all, it could only be, like, draw these circles. I forget what they're called, but, draw the circles we did in math. So only an area where all the circles are overlapping with each other in the center somewhere, that's the limited area where these kli is able to go. But the extended areas where it's not overlapped by all the brothers, it cannot go to those areas.
A Venn diagram.
Yeah, exactly. A Venn diagram, right. So then the Gemara says, "Hashoel kli mechaveru." Somebody who borrows a kli from his friend me'erv yamtif before yamtif kiragli hashoel. It goes according to the one who's borrowing it, because the one who borrows it, he's kone the object now. It's his, even though it's not really his, but for the time being, it's his. It goes according to the one who's borrowing it, his ability, his boundaries that he's able to walk. Let's say hashoel b'yamtif, he borrows it on yamtif, then kiragli hamasha, goes according to the person who's lending it to him, because the tchumim are established bein hashmashos. So whoever has the ownership or rights to use it on bein hashmashos, it goes according to that person. So since the masha, the one lending it, it was his during bein hashmashos, then the ability of this object to move only can go the distance of the masha, not of the shoel. V'chein, so too, the same halacha applies, ha'isha sheshala mechaverta, a woman who borrows from her friend tavlin, some seasoning, umayim umelach lisasa, harei l'karag l'shteyim, if she borrows it, so then it goes according to both parties, both hers and her friend who she's borrowing from. So I'm not sure why it goes according to both of them, but I guess the idea is that, I guess it makes sense. She can't walk outside of her border, so it has to be like a Venn diagram, where she has her circle, and a friend has her circle, has to be an area where it's overlapping by both them. Because even though her friend might have a further distance to walk, she herself can't walk further than she's allowed to walk. So the seasons, the salt, and whatever, the water that she's borrowing, is only able to go where both parties, both the woman and the one she's borrowing from, can both go.
They focus on the word elu. It's the food. She borrowed the salt,
mm-hmm.
but then she puts it into her food. So now you have this combination of this. The salt from the chaverta and the food is hers. So where can she take the whole combination?
Aha, I see. So since
that's subject to both,
I see.
It's like the salt doesn't lose its own tchum from the.
I see. That's the point. Okay. That's how the Gemara says in the end. Oh, so since even though the salt seems to, you don't see it, you don't notice it becomes mixed in, and you might think that the friend who lent it to you no longer has any bearing on the status of this food, that's not true. She still does have control over it, if you will, and it can still only go to where she's able to walk. I see. And to that responds Rabbi Yehuda, the last line of the Mishnah, Poter b'mayim b'pnei she'ein b'hen mamish. When it comes to water that you borrowed, since it has no mamashas, which it really does, but it's, I guess, insignificant, it when it gets mixed together, it does not still have to be governed by the one lending it to you. It's exclusively the one who's now using it. It goes according to her tchum and not to your friend. Rashi explains, what do you mean ain't b'mamash? It doesn't mean it has no, it's not substantial, it's not tangible, it certainly is. Ain't nikaros lo b'kedera lo b'isa. You don't recognize it. Salt and pepper, that you taste. The water, you know, we know water goes into pretty much everything, but it becomes not noticeable, and therefore it's not subject to her tchum. Okay. Says the Gemara, now the last word in the daf, Masnisin Delo, our Mishnah is not Ki Rebbe Dusa. Our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Dusa. Who is Rebbe Dusa, or what does Rebbe Dusa say? Says the Gemara, Tap Ditanya, Rebbe Dusa Omer, and others say Amri la Abashol Omer. Others say it was really not Rabbi Dosa, it was really Abashol. Omer halokeach behema mechaveru. Somebody who purchases an animal from his friend me'erv yamtiv. Af apishol masalo el yamtiv. Even though he actually doesn't hand it over to him until yamtiv begins, but he bought it erv yamtiv. The din is who gets it. I was never Moshech, I never did Mashicha. Is giving the money going to be enough of an acquisition for it to go based on my ability to walk or the seller's ability to walk? So the Gemara says, it goes based on the purchaser, the buyer's ability to walk, since he paid for it erev yamtif already. But let's say hamoser behema leroa, person gives his animal for the shepherd to watch. He gives my sheep over. My sheep is given to the shepherd. Afal pishlo masalo el yamtif harehu kiragli heroa. Even though I only gave it on yamtif, so then, even though I gave it on yamtif, it goes based on the roa. But why? It should really go based on Ben Hashmashos. I own the Ben Hashmashos, so it should go based on where I could walk. I only gave it to Roa the next day in the afternoon of Shabbos, so why should it follow his? It should follow my ability to walk, not his ability to walk. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Dosa. So Rabbi Dosa doesn't sound like our mission. Our mission says the point of the timing is Banish Mashos, whoever owns the Banish Mashos, whoever has control Banish Mashos. This says, even though I had a Banish Mashos, it's given to the Roa the next day. It goes based on the Roa, even though it wasn't his during Banish Mashos. That's why Rabbi Dosa is not like our Mishnah. Says Gemara, no, Afilu Tema Rabbi Dosa. Our Mishnah could also still be in accordance with Rabbi Dosa. How so? Lokasha, Kan Beroa Echad, Kan Mishnei Roan. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where you have two different Roam. I'm not sure who I'm going to give it to. So therefore, all goes based on me, the owner, by Banish Mashos. And the next day, whoever I give it to, it's going to be his, but it has to go based on where I could go. This Bryce or Rados is talking about a case where there's one Roa in the entire city. Everyone goes to one person. You know who it's going to. So Banish Mashos, even though I didn't give it over to him yet, I knew I was going to give it over to him. So therefore, it's considered as if it was his possession already, Banish Mashos. Why do you give it to a Roa on Shabbos? I don't get that. What's a shepherd going to do? You want to take a Shabbos afternoon nap and then you give it to him to watch over? Take your dog for a little walk? I don't get it. Okay. So the Gemara says, Dekanami. It's also quite,
You're going to a
Shir. Going to a Shir. There you go. Very good. So Dekanami, it's also very meduyak. If you read our Mishnah, Dekasani, Livno Oleroa, Shmamina. You give it to his son or to his Roa. So, what's the diak here? That our mission is talking about two roim. What's the diak livno ol roa? So it explains here that the son was also a roa. His son was a shepherd. He either gives it to his son, the shepherd, or to the communal shepherd. He's not sure who he's going to give it to. The two options to give it to. That's why our Mishnah is a particular case where you don't know who's giving to, which of the two Roam. And that's why it goes based on the owner. But Rabbi Dosa is talking about a case where there is just one Roa, and that's why, even though you give it to him tomorrow, it still follows the Ragle HaRoa. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Dosa. We pass like Rabbi Dosa. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, does Rabbi Yochanan really say we pass like Rabbi Dosa? V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'sam mishnah. Doesn't he paskin like a stam mishnah? Whenever there's a stam mishnah, that's the halacha. And the stam mishnah says different than Rabbi Dosa. V'tznan mishnah tells us, ha'behema v'akelim k'rag le'hebahalim. It follows the legs of the owners, not the legs of the roeh. Mar said, what do you mean? Lavo kimna, we already told you there's a difference. There's not a stira between the mishnah and Rabbi Dosa. They're saying they're in agreement. Kan b'roeh echad kan mishnei roen. Our mishnah was a case of turoim. That's why it follows ragli balim. Rabbi Dosa was a case of roa echad. That's why it follows ragli roa. So in fact, there's no steer. Rabbi Yochanan follows the mishnah of the sam mishnah, and he also follows like Rabbi Dosa. They are both true, just two different scenarios. Tanya Rabbanan, the Gemara now quotes a brisa that says, "Shnaim sheshalu chalak echad b'shutvis." Two people, Reuven and Shimon, go and borrow a suit b'shutvis, taking turns wearing the suit. Zelelech boshachos beis midrash. Reuven wants to wear it in the morning to go be very presentable in the base medrash in the morning. Vizeli kanis bar arvus the base medrash. This guy wants to go partying with it. He wears a suit at nighttime for the chasana. Ze arvus. So that's ze arv alav l'tzafim. Now this guy on Shabbos makes an error for him to go 2,000 amos above. So the way it works, if a person stands one place, he's only allowed 2,000 amos in the radius. So if he wants to go, let's say north 4,000 amos, he could walk Erev Shabbos 2,000 amos away, set up a suda there, and then that's going to be his real makom, and this is going to be really 2,000 amos from that suda as opposed to where he is right now. So once he does that, though, his radius completely moves up north. He can't go south at all. He can only go north. Again, he goes where he is to there, 2,000 amos, and then another 2,000 amos north. So what happens is one of the guys, Zer Erev Alav Tzafon, this guy makes a tchum another 2,000 amos north. The other guys there are of a love dorm. Now, the other guy makes 2,000 amos below. Now, there's a big difference how far it could go. There's now 8,000 amos between the extremes. So, Zesh Erev Alav Lutzafon, the guy who made the Erev up north, Mahalach Lutzafon, Karagli Misha Erev Alav Lutzafon, he's only allowed to go up into the same Venn diagram. He can only go up until where it overlaps with the guy who went south. He can't go the full north because he's still attached, the string to attach the partner's guy's ability. So they're both here in the same place. This guy draws the one up here. Now his radius is like that. And the guy south goes down. His radius is like that. And only the Venn diagram, which tells us the center where it's overlapping, he can only go in that area. And he really can't go the distance that he set up the area for. And so too, Zer Sheir Valav L'Darim, the guy who makes the Tchum below in the south, Mahalach l'darm karagli mishar v'lov l'tzofen. He could only go as south as the northern guy is able to go south. Now, v'im matzu es atchum, if let's say they're matzu, I think where the circles mamish touch each other, but they don't overlap. I think that's what it's saying. How do they say matzo? Harezo lo yizazenim kamo. You can't move at all. You're stuck. Does matzo have a definition for it? Let's see.
They establish their tachum at the center.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that was this. And there's no overlap.
Well, the center point, I guess they really mean I guess they're 4,000 almost away from each other. So that, right, so that they each 2,000 just meet like right here. There is no overlap.
Exactly. Right. They marriage touch each other, so they're, whoever's wearing it is like stuck wearing that suit for Shabbos in that one place. He can't move.
Right. And the other guy can't get it. I guess the other guy can't get it.
Right. He has to go to his mishta without his new suit. Okay, then the Gemara says, this is the last word on the narrow lines, Itmar. It was stated the following. Shnaim shalachu habai echavis ubehema b'shutvis. Two people buy in partnership. They buy a jug. They buy an animal together. Rab amar chavis mutaris ubehema asura. Ushmu amar chavis nami asura. So Rav says that the chavis is mutar. You could walk. Each person could walk according to his distance, even though there's no overlap. I could walk with my chavis as long as I'm as far as my tchum goes, and you could walk as far as your tchum goes, even though there is no overlap between the two of us, or even it's not going where it's overlapping. But an animal is also to do that. You can only go where both of us are able to walk. And Shmuel says, no, even the chavis, it's also to walk anywhere where only one of us could go. It has to be an area where both of us are able to walk. What's the machlokas? My kasavar Rav. What's the opinion of Rav? The logic of Rav? Ik kasavar yesh breira. If there's brera, which means that I could say this part of the animal is mine, this part of the animal is mine, or this part of the chav is mine, this part of the chav is mine, I'm just walking my part, and the other stuff just happens to come with me. If there's such a concept of brera, I could distinguish which is mine, which isn't. I feel behemoth history. Even an animal, I should be able to say, well, this, the head is mine, so I'm bringing the head. Okay, the rest of the body is coming along with it, but I'm taking the head. So everything should be permitted if brera is a concept that we hold of. V'kasavar ein brera, if you hold brera doesn't exist, afilu chavis nami asura, then you can't distinguish within this jug of oil. I can't say this part's mine, this part's yours. It's all one unit. I shouldn't be able to even bring the chavis. So what's the reason that Rav distinguishes between the chavis and the behema? Liolam kasavar yesh brera, really there is such a thing as brera. I could say this part of the oil is mine, this part of the oil is yours, and then I could walk and saying I'm bringing my part, and your part happens to just be coming with me. So why not say the same thing by behemoth, that the head is mine? I'm taking the head to that area. Happens to be the legs are following. Because shiny behemoth, the koyanki, tchubim bahadade. Because the animal is different. I think what it means is yanki, that they're, you can't, the animal can't live without the other parts of the body. The parts, it's all together. So once I'm bringing the head, it still needs the legs and still needs the rest of the body to work with each other. So therefore, as opposed to chavis, I can cut off the oil. Half the oil is mine, half the oil is yours. The animal doesn't work that way. I think that's the idea. Is that consistent with what you see?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So says the Gemara now. Amri le Rav Kana, Rav Asi the Rav. Both these Rabbanim say back to Rav. L'hisser muksa lo chashu. This tchumim chashashu. You're not concerned with muksa. You're only concerned with tchumim. What's the shaila here? So I explain here that your only concern right now is tchum, how far you're allowed to walk. What about muksa? The part that's not mine, I maksa to you, that you should have it. And once I don't have that in mind to use it, I know the half is yours, it's considered muksa from me, and I'm not allowed to move that part of the chavis. Or I'm not allowed to move that part of the animal. Why do we allow me to move that part of the animal, which is not mine, which is considered muksa? Shasak Rav. Rav had no response. He stayed quiet. So my havala. So what is the... I guess that's just the end of it. The Gemara wants to know now. So what's the halacha in terms of, brera here? So Gemara says, Rav Hoshaya Amar Yesh Brera. Rav Hoshaya says there is a concept of brera. And Rav Yochanan Amar Ein Brera. There is no brera. So according to Rav Hoshaya, you can move the chavis, but you can't move the animal. According to Rav Yochanan, you cannot move even the chavis. Because there's no brera. So Rav Hoshaya, Yesh Breira, does Rav Hoshaya really hold of this concept of Breira, that you can say which part is mine, which part is yours? Hatanan, the Mishnah teaches us, this is a Mishnah we saw a while ago, this was back on Daf Yud. Hames Bibayas, there's a dead body in the house. V'lo Psochem Harbin, there are many, many windows, there are many ways for the animal, the mace to, the tumah, to exit. Kulam Tumeim, so all the different rooms that are off the room of the mace are going to be considered, are going to be tamei. Niftach echa mehem, if one of the entrances to another room opens, so hu tamei, only that room is tamei, all the other rooms which are now closed, kulan torum, the rest are tahar. Because we always say it goes out the open entrance. Chishev lo tziyo be'echa mehem, o b'chalon sheyesh ba'arba al arba. Let's say a person simply has a thought to open one of the doors, or to open up one of the windows, matzals al psachim kulan. It saves all the other rooms that are off this room of the mace. Meaning, even though you never actually opened it up, the simple machshava that you eventually will open up is enough to save the other rooms from becoming tahor and anything inside them from becoming tamei rather, and they remain tahor. So on this, beishami omrim hu shechishav alav ad shlo yamos hamase. It's only when you said, "I see this person in this room is very ill and he's going to die. Right now, I'm having in mind, I want to open up that room." If you had that machshava before the actual person died, then it works. But after the fact, after he died, then the doesn't work, l'mafre. It doesn't work retroactively. Comes along Beis Hillel, Omrim, af mishen yamos hames. Even after the mace dies, you could still say, I want to take it outside the other room. That room over there, I want to have the machshava take it out of the room. Even though I didn't think about it before the mace died, the time the person dies, the tumah should go all over. But the machshava works retroactively. Breira, we hold a breira. Now, on this mission, which is seemingly at the surface sounds like Beis Hillel holds a breira, you can do things retroactively and figure out which rooms or which parts of the chavis. Itmar la Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Rabbi Hoshaya comments letar es apsachim mikanim laba. This means it's allowing you to mitire any future kelim that brought into various rooms. Meaning shas misa, all the rooms become tamei right away. Then if I have in mind to open up one of the doors, so now moving forward, only that one room where I want to open the door, they're going to be tamei. But the other rooms, which are already tamei, moving forward are going to be tahor. Meaning anything new I bring into the room, any new kelim, will get tahor. Only mikana labo works, says the Gemara, in l'mafreya lo. Retroactive does not work. So we see Rav Hoshaya does not hold of l'mafreya. L'mafreya is the same thing as saying brera. We don't hold of things working retroactively. How then are we able to say above that Rav Hoshaya does hold a brera? So Gemara says, Ipech, let's switch it around. Really, Rav Hoshaya amar ein brera, there is no brera. Rav Yochanan amar yesh brera, there is brera. That's the opposite. Rav Yochanan is the one who holds a brera. Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me Rav Yochanan really holds a brera? Me is say Rav Yochanan brera. V'hamar Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Yochanan, ha'achin shechilk l'kuchos hein. You have an estate, father dies, leaves over a large estate, or not even a large estate, any amount of an estate, and the brothers divide it up. Now these brothers, the few brothers that are there, are each viewed as lekuchos, as people buying land. That's how we view them, as lekuchos. And since they're lekuchos, the halacha is machzirin delazel biyovel. When yovel comes, you always have to go back, return it. When you buy land from someone in Eretz Yisrael, yovel goes back to the initial owners. Here too also, they consider lekuchos, and where did Rashi go here for a second? Right. So since they're considered lekuchos, so during Yovel, they all go back, the lands are returned to each other, and they have to redivide it up. We don't view them as being Yerusha. Why? Why don't we say Breira? Why don't we say, well, since Reuven gets this part and Shimon gets this part, it should be Breira that it was always theirs from the first place. The fact that we don't say Breira, we view them as lekuchos, tells me we don't hold a Breira. And this is a statement said by Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold a Breira either. Neither does Rabbi Hoshaya. So who says Breira? V'chitema, maybe you're going to suggest, says the Gemara, ki lesle Rabbi Yochanan Breira b'deraisa. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan does not hold a Breira on deraisa halachas, such as Yovel and Lekuchos. Aval b'dirabanan halachas isle. When it comes to dina dirabanan, such as Tchumim, which is dirabanan, maybe there he does hold a Breira. By the way, this is how we paskin. We do paskin normally when it comes to Breira. We don't say Breira by deraisas, but we do say Breira by dirabanas. Gemara at this point only has it as a havmina. Maybe you want a distinction that deraisa there is no brera, but derabanan there is brera. But derabanan mi islay? Is it really true? Is it really brera on dinam derabanan? V'hatani, don't we learn the braisa? Ayo, I think Menashe's name is Ayo.
Yes.
Yeah, so Ayo, doesn't Ayo teach us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein adam, person can't make a tanai on two different things. Meaning, ela im b'chacham l'mizrach, eruv l'mizrach, if the marv eruv l'mala, the marv rather. So the person says, he knows a chacham's coming to town, it's Yantif. He knows a chacham's coming to town. It's Erev Yom Tov right now. He knows tomorrow there's a chacham coming. He just doesn't know he's coming from the north, the south, the east, the west. So he makes it tonight. He sets up a suda there, sets up a suda there. He says, if the chacham comes from the west, so my tchum is going to extend itself to the west. If he comes from the east, he's going to come from the east. But what he can't do, both places. He can't say I want a tchum in both areas. Because he can only do tchum in one direction. And then the Gemara says, "Vavinam ba." We want to understand this case for a second. Maishna lekan lekan delo. Why can you do erev in two different places? De'ain brera, because there's no brera. So there's no concept of brera. What's going on here for a second? So the difference is, he just says, what you can't do, let's say a chacham comes from both directions. You can't say, I'm going to make a decision tomorrow, what I want to pick, which Rebbe I want to go listen to. That you can't do. What you can do is you could say, wherever he comes, which I could pick one chacham and say, if he comes from the west, west, if he comes from the east, east. But I can't say, I'll pick it tomorrow. Because when you say based on one chacham, well, the chacham, that's not considered brera. That's you're going on based on one chacham, what he does. That's not choosing between two different ones. You still know what the matiz is. But for you to decide on Yontif itself, I want to go to the west now, and you want to think of brera, that really what I decide now takes effect, lemafrei, what happened yesterday, that doesn't work. So it says Gemara, again, Havinam ba, top line of Lam Chesam and Allah for a second, why can't you say, I'm going to make an error both places, and tomorrow I'll decide where to go. That doesn't work. Delo, de ain bearer, we don't hold a bearer. So if that's the case, mizrach umarv nami ain bearer. Also, if I set one to the west, and set one up in the east, that's also bearer, that's also me deciding. And Amr b'yochanan, v'chvar b'chacham. No, it's talking about a case where the chacham already came. I just didn't know where he is. So wherever he is, it already exists. When I make a tanai mizrach versus marv, already happened. He already is somewhere. I just don't find out the information until tomorrow, but already the decision's made, I just don't know about it yet, whether he's in the west or the east. And that's Rabbi Yochanan commenting. Alma, we see from here, less than Rabbi Yochanan Brera. He doesn't hold the Brera. He only allows you to set up the Erev in such a way with the Tanai when the Metzias happen, I just don't know the Metzias, but Lemafrei, it doesn't work. The Gemara says, Elo Liolam really lo tibach. Don't switch the orders. And really Rabbi Hoshai is the one who holds the Brera. But v'chilesle Rabbi Hoshaya brayer b'deraisim. He doesn't hold the brayer on a deraisa level. That's why when it came to the case of Tuma and Tara on the mace, brayer doesn't work there. That's a din deraisa. Afal b'derabanan islay. When it comes to derabanan such as tchumim, he does allow for tchumim. And finally, darish marzutra halach Rabbi Hoshaya. We pass on Rabbi Hoshaya that again. This is the psak. When it comes to Dina Deraisa, there is no Brera. When it comes to Dina Derbanan, there is Brera. And this does come up in a number of arenas. And halacha is a very important halacha to know. Okay, we'll stop here. And I guess tomorrow we'll head. Pretty short daf tomorrow.